records of our interactions, scribbled notes in silent satisfactions. We're both old now, but you're still older, still think you know just what I'm after. It's more that I miss than you think. I've gone over the laughs and frustrated sighs in my head till no end. It's more I remember. I thought long and hard about hot summer days, laid on your floor until mother wouldn't allow us to go in your bed anymore. Silly note that I left when I was younger, scotch taped onto your grandmother's screen door. Doesn't represent me well, I can't assure.
Hey everybody, welcome to Demo Mirror. This is Matt. I'm on the phone this Christmas Eve 2009 with Eric Shepherd. We just heard a song of his called Song 2. How you doing?
Good. I'm good. Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you. What have you been up to tonight so far?
The typical Christmas Eve fare, just playing games with my family. You know, enjoying the cold weather.
Yeah.
Indoors.
What sort of games were you guys doing?
We were playing a game called Bananagrams. I don't know if you know it, but it's one of the best games that you can possibly play. It's sort of like Scrabble, but it's about 100 times better. So check it out.
This episode is going to be the last episode. But the reason I did it last was because it's probably one of my favorite demos that I received. I really enjoy it, and I listen to it all the time.
That's encouraging.
Yeah, no, it was good. So, what were you intending this for?
It's funny actually. I probably do quite a lot of quote unquote demos. And I'm doing them all the time, but they're never really intended for any of the bands I've ever been in. It's funny because typically my bands that I'm in with other people, the songs never end up getting demoed. They just, you know, I'll just write the song, bring it to practice, and then we'll end up, you know, recording the final version. But anything I ever end up demoing is usually just something, you know, that I came up with on my own, but it's not really I mean, hopefully someday I'll have something to do with the songs that I've recorded, but for now they're just sort of, you know, floating around
so
on the hard drive.
Is this one of many then?
Yeah. I'd say that this one in particular is one of the more finished products that I have as far as demos go. I put a pretty good amount of work into this one, but, you know, I have lots of scrap. It's funny that I have songs that I've recorded 3 and 4 times, demos of, that, you know, I've never actually played for anyone or, you know, done anything with, so this is actually a nice opportunity for me to actually do something with one of these songs.
Yeah, definitely. Is the song itself older for you, or is it a newer song for you?
This one is a little older. It's funny because when I end up writing songs like this, it sort of, you know, takes hold, and I can't do anything else until I complete the song, and that includes everything. That includes all of the guitar parts, all of the vocal parts. I just won't rest until I have it completely done. So this one is actually quite old. It's actually probably 4 years old, or maybe 5 even, from when I actually wrote the song. This one is funny because my drummer in numerous bands that I've been in, Ian Sutton, played the drums on this one, and I don't think he's actually heard the final product. I don't know if I ever actually played it for him after I got my hands on it, so it's pretty old though.
Cool. And you demoed it all on your own? Did you do it in your studio?
Yeah, I'm trying to think back to where, because the drums, I recorded drums and guitar. Like, I played a scratch track along with Ian when we were recording the drums, and I'm pretty sure that those were recorded in my parents' garage, where I actually did some work with Anthony Tenorella from previous entry.
Mm-hmm.
We've been in plenty of bands together, and so yeah, we did the drums and the scratch guitar probably in my parents' garage, and then I took it back, and then I did the rest at whatever apartment it was I lived at the time. Just, you know, lots of guitar tracks, lots of vocal tracks.
Mm-hmm.
The bass may or may not even just be a guitar that's been pitch shifted down an octave.
Mm-hmm.
That typically I end up doing that if I don't have a bass available, but I think for this one I did a bass. So
I wanted to talk to you about there's this one part in the song that I find funny, but not, I'm not like, I don't know why, quite why I find it funny, but
okay.
This song is, to me, it's sort of like a, it's just a, like a really good sort of pop song. And right in the middle, there's this, like, it sort of acts as a bridge.
Oh, yeah.
And it's almost like this hardcore
uh-huh.
part. And I thought it was funny because, and I didn't know if you realized that, if you did it, like, intentionally, or if it was, like, you know, because I know you are, like, coming from that school. You were, like, in a couple bands like that that were a little heavier. So I didn't know if it was, like a conscious decision, or if it came out, or how that came about.
I think, actually, yeah, I know the part that you're talking about.
Yeah, it's just, like, guitar, you know, walking up.
Yeah,
kind of sinister.
Tidbit about that, if you listen to the Turn of the Century Canon song, 7 and a Switchblade, you'll actually hear that part.
Oh.
In that song, so
okay.
that one part was actually recycled. I think, I can't remember exactly what my thought was at the time, but it was either A, I just needed something to put there until I figured something else out, or more likely it was just I figured the final version of the song might be a little louder. The demo version is obviously it's all clean, but more likely I was thinking that when, you know, if I ever did do another version of this song, like a more finalized version with a band, that would probably be a louder, kind of more rocking out part. Just, it sort of was to offset the part that follows immediately, which is very quiet, and which sets up the final part of the song, which is sort of, I don't know how to describe it, but
yeah, the part with all the harmonies,
yeah,
that come
vocal,
in.
The vocal harmonies, like there's sort of like the loud, quiet, loud thing that I find myself doing sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
To try to maybe add emphasis to certain parts.
Right. Now, that end part with where all the harmonies come in, like, I don't know, sort of reminds me of sort of Beach Boys-y, I guess, or something like that. Is there anybody, like, Are there any, like, influences on that part, like them, or is it any part of any of the song?
Well, there's definitely influences. I mean, the Beach Boys are definitely a big influence, just in my, you know, my whole, in, you know, musical spectrum. But I also was heavily involved with the choir when I was in high school, and I just have always loved three-part and four-part harmony. I was in multiple choirs when I was in school, and I sort of just wanted to be able to do that in my own music. I'd say the biggest influence on me as far as vocal harmony goes is a band called That Dog.
Oh yeah.
Sort of were not the biggest band. They had one album that kind of did all right. They were sort of associated with Weezer for a while. They were
right.
One of those early 90s Geffen bands, but I was always a huge fan of the vocal harmonies in all of their music. Are just super complex, just very original. You'd never see it coming. They're very, you know, unexpected things. And the first time hearing them, I was just so blown away. And that's what ends up happening when I do demos, is I'll have the lead vocal melody, and I'll usually just end up layering and layering and layering and putting, you know, all these different layers and harmonies on it until, you know, I decide on three or four that I actually like and stick with those ones. But I'm always thinking, if I can do anything that even comes close to what they did,
right,
I'd be pretty impressed with myself.
Yeah, they're a really cool band. And now, you know, Petra Hayden's moved on to doing, like, everything. And I hear those... If people don't know, or I don't know if you realize that, but, like, all those Toyota commercials.
Yep. She has a very impressive a cappella career.
Right, yeah. And I first got turned on to her stuff through, she did work with the Rentals stuff.
Yep.
And that's where I got into that. But then I found out she does all this a cappella stuff, and she did the Who Sell Out, that album, completely a cappella, and it's
on
awesome.
On a four-track.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Her, I believe it's her first a cappella album. It's called Imaginary Land.
Mm-hmm.
And that one actually is really fantastic. It's a little higher quality than the Who Sell Out, but you know, she's just incredible. She's got original stuff on there, and then also she does some classical stuff, like some Bach stuff, just totally a cappella. And she's a huge inspiration.
Totally.
She also did some work with she did an album with Bill Frisell.
Oh yeah, I have that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, she's just. She's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, personal hero, for sure.
Very cool. I wanted to ask you some specific questions about the song, specifically the lyrical content. Mm-hmm. I was just sort of wondering if it's, it feels very sort of real and honest and truthful to me, but I was wondering if, you know, if it's a true thing for you, or if it's semi-made up, or... Is the song,
well,
like, very personal to you, or...?
Yeah, it actually, if it sounds that way, it's because it totally is. it's all real. It's all based on personal experience. I mean, I have a real hard time with lyrics in general. Typically, you know, I can write music all day. I can write, you know, music just until I, you know, pass out and die. But lyrics have always been really difficult for me. I've never really been one who can, I don't know, channel someone else to write about, or, you know, I find that whenever I end up writing lyrics, they're always intensely personal, and there's just, I feel like there's no way that I can't write in that capacity. So it actually ends up meaning that I don't write a lot of lyrics because I get self-conscious to a point, which is pretty funny because I never end up, you know, really playing a lot of this stuff for anyone anyway, but...
Well, I will say I love the lyrics in this song.
Oh.
I find it, and now that, like, I know that they're so, like, they're actually personal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really cool because it's just refreshing, because even for me, or, like, for my peers, sometimes... Or, like, through this project of the Demo Mirror stuff, talking to people, I've found people, or maybe I want their lyrics to be more personal than they are. And I actually talk to them, and, like, yeah, it doesn't mean anything. And even I say that sometimes. I'm just like, eh, it doesn't really mean anything. But, like, when something actually is true, I don't know, it just, it makes that song, like, so much better, so.
Yeah, I unfortunately can't even attempt to write something that doesn't come straight from, like, inside. I don't even know how to begin going about creating anything like that. It's just everything that I do lyrically, just always, even if I try to go somewhere else and, you know, write about something else or write something that doesn't really, you know, have any meaning, it ends up turning around and I'll look at the page and I'll say, oh, well, this is all about me. And it's just, there's no way I can really get around it. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, this song specifically is about, you know, it's about a person. Of course, it's pretty obvious. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's one of those, I don't know, people who were very important to you in your life. You maybe don't realize until later how important they were. And then there's just that sort of feeling that if you had known how important they were going to end up being to you, you never would have let it sort of get away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, it's kind of sappy, but that's, you know, exactly what I was feeling when I was writing this song.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's, I, like I said, I think it's really cool. So, yeah, that's awesome. Just to sort of switch gears a little bit, I guess, on the recording end, you actually did, you do recording, you're sort of an engineer, you have a studio and stuff?
Yeah. I do, I still have a studio in Brooklyn. Haven't done anything lately with it, but we've just been gearing up again to start doing more work. The studio actually just moved recently to a new space. We're kind of getting everything ready. We were going to start in January to start really do, you know, lots more bands. I actually lost my job a few months ago, as many other people have before me, but I figured rather than jump right into another, you know, office type job, I would at least see if I could make some kind of a living doing what I really want to do, which is working on music, whether it's my own or recording other people's bands. So.
Well, that's cool. That's maybe it's hopefully it's a blessing in disguise.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's funny too because I emailed you about this before, but just to share with everybody. I bought this the CD by The Pains of Being Pure at Heart, and I was looking at the liner notes, and I was like, recorded at Honeyland. I'm like, that's Eric's studio.
Yep.
So I emailed you right away, and it's a really sweet album, and it's a cool sound. So
yeah, that it's funny, that was one of the first bands that we did in our studio. Not that record, but we did their first EP that they released, and they sort of came to us and just. They didn't even have a drummer at the time. It was just the three of them with an iPod with their backing tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're still good friends with them, even though they've sort of blown up. As
yeah, they really have, yeah.
But that was another reason why, you know, we kind of stopped doing the recording thing, but then we were sort of saying, you know, maybe we should continue doing this. Like, it's worth it to meet, you know, people like this, like Pains and you know, all the bands that we end up getting to work with. It's really, it inspires me, you know, to stop being lazy and to work on my own stuff more, which is what I really need more than anything else. I mean, all the demos I have, I've always said to myself, yeah, someday I'll start a band and it'll be my band and I'll write all the stuff and I'll use all my demos, you know, so hopefully, you know, everyone be on the lookout when I start my band. You might be hearing more of this type of stuff.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Very
so,
cool.
Hopefully. And, you know, and then of course it'll be recorded. I'll record it myself and we'll see where that goes, but.
Well, I think we covered a lot of what I wanted to talk about the song. Is there anything else you want to say about it?
Yeah, not too much else to say. I mean, this is, that song, I mean, it's one that still is kicking around. I could definitely pick up a guitar and just play it. I definitely remember the whole thing and, you know, I'm hoping that eventually I'll be able to turn it into something real when I can, you know, focus some more time on my own stuff. But I think, if nothing else, it was nice to finally get it out there for some, you know, people to take a listen to. And in your words, definitely have encouraged me. And, you know, I really appreciate what you're doing with this whole project has been so amazing. I've just been on the edge of my seat every time you you put a new entry up. It's really fantastic. I just want to say thanks to you and to all the other people who are involved in the whole thing.
Well, thank you. Thanks for sharing. Like I said, awesome song. Glad to interview you about it, and best of luck.
Yeah, thanks so much. And I look forward to Demo Mirror Part 2, maybe.
Yeah, me too.